Well, it is one thing to save and recycle, to waste not. It is another thing to make profitable use of what we do recycle, to want not. This leads us to ask, how can we go from wasting not to wanting not?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 743rd edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Port Stanley who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, no matter who you are or where you are, I welcome to this hour of News Talk Radio. I'm Michael Olson, your host for the hour, with engineer Rick O'Shea on the boards. Hello, Rick.
Good day, Michael.
Folks, you know, it's in my community, wasting not has become the order of the day. Where we once consumed with wild abandon and threw our waste out the collective window, we now have three garbage cans. One to recycle green waste, a second to recycle glass, metal, and paper and plastic, and a third, the guilty can, for the waste that cannot be recycled. The simple fact is my community no longer has the financial wherewithal to consume with wild abandon, nor the space left to pile all its trash in a dump at the outskirts of town. So we have become a community of recyclers aiming for a future of zero waste. While it is important to save and recycle, to waste not, it is another thing to make profitable use of what we do not recycle to want not. And so we ask today, how can we go from wasting not to wanting not? Here to help us find an answer, we have a gentleman who does just that. His name is Michael Keller, and he's Chief Executive Officer of Scandinavian Biogas U.S. Michael, welcome back to the Food Chain.
Thanks, Michael.
So last time you were here, we were talking about the biomass cowboys. And it was at a time when California had decided to reduce its emissions of greenhouse gases by 30%. And everybody was going, oh, my God, how are we going to do that? And one of the ways, of course, we can do that is by recycling. How are you with that 30%? Was that what was recently done away with, that whole notion of reducing our greenhouse gas emissions by 30%?
Well, the state of California reenacted or increased the renewable portfolio standard for all power that's generated in California. 30% of it must come from renewable sources, whether it's solar, wind, biomass energy, geothermal, you name it. But 30% is the new challenge, and it's proving to be a challenge for California.
A big one. Now, the federal government I think President Obama did away with the EPA's greenhouse gas laws, so that did not affect us, or it does affect us in California?
Michael, to my knowledge, it doesn't affect us at all. You know, okay. It's a state law, and we have to meet it.
So there it is. So California is going to reduce its emissions of greenhouse gases, and boy, I guess one of the ways we have to start thinking about doing this is recycle our waste and turn it into energy, and that's the subject of today's show, which brings us to the Scandinavian Biogas Company. What on earth is the Scandinavian, and how did you get hooked up with a Swedish company anyway, Michael Keller?
Well, I had done some work before recycling. I had a company earlier, five, 6 years ago. We were taking organic material, organic waste, and turning it into soil amendments through composting and vermicomposting. And so I had developed some products for soil amendments, essentially. I got a call from an attorney that was representing this company from Sweden. And they asked me if I would care to put a value on the waste that comes from anaerobic digestion.
Better describe that. What do you mean by anaerobic digestion?
Anaerobic without air. You know, like you and I are alive. We're breathing air. We're exhaling CO2. Anaerobic, you produce anaerobic gases, and the principal one is methane. And so so the idea that they put organic waste in there, let's say, whether it's post-consumer, pre-consumer food waste, animal waste, anything that...
Anything that's organic.
Exactly. They put it in there in an anaerobic atmosphere, and it starts to give off methane.
So it's kind of like you put it in a tank.
Exactly. It's a big digester, mm-hmm. and it's nothing more than just
like
a big
tank. Metal stomach.
There you go. Sure.
Okay.
And so it produces methane, and methane is very compatible with natural gas. And
never mind.
Well, true. We do some methane production mm-hmm. ourselves, but the whole idea is you can coax a lot of gas out of that, out of organic material, and it's a process. But anyway, so what's left over from anaerobic digestion is called digestate, and that digestate is what I originally was asked to provide some information on.
So here's a company that. That manufactures natural gas out of waste, mm-hmm. and then they're trying to figure out, well, now we have this digestate, what do we do with that?
The digestate is actually, depending on what goes into the digester,
sure.
So there's a certain level of fertility, or NPK, mm-hmm. nitrogen, phosphorus,
kind
potassium.
Kind of like garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not going to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, but if you're putting in good material, let's say it's fruit waste as mm-hmm. an example.
Which is really high in sugar, lots of energy, and lots of good stuff sitting there.
Yeah, exactly. And so that material that comes out, we basically sell that back to the farmer that grew the food to begin with. So it helps, enhance the soil's fertility. And it's part of it, but it's not the whole program. But anyway, there's nothing left. We take the waste, it turns into, we break it down into methane, and then the digestate is used as a soil amendment or a fertilizer.
Wow. Well, the big question of the day is, given what's been in the news lately with respect to the photovoltaic cell industry and Solyndra and whatnot, mm. is this real, this whole industry real? I mean, is can we actually make money doing this? Can we be profitable recycling our organic waste? Or is this just another way of recycling taxpayer money, like we're seeing in the photovoltaic cell industry?
The with PV, photovoltaics, wind power, et cetera, and then the new biofuels, there's usually a high capital cost associated with that. Anaerobic digestion has been around for 50, 60, 70 years. It's nothing new. And the Europeans have definitely developed a very keen expertise with this, and the Swedes, the Germans, most notably. So there's no technology risk per se. It's just how good can you get at extracting gas from a particular material.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you can make money. Scandinavian Biogas, we do quite well with it. And it just depends on the nature of the waste.
Sure.
Some of it's very difficult to get rid of, and others, it's very easy to get rid of.
So then it depends on what kind of trash you have as to how valuable it is. Well, we've been looking toward a future of, biofuels. And the great hope was always something like a cellulosic ethanol, something that would really unlock, the carbohydrates mm-hmm. and make them available as a fuel for us. And yet it hasn't quite panned out that way. It seems to have become quite a taxpayer thing, just like the photovoltaic cells. And so that, we're still looking for that future to show up. But what you're saying is that the future is here now for the biogas. So.
Yeah. I like to draw comparisons between, the new generation of biofuels, where, basically drop-in fuels that are hydrocarbon spec fuels, cellulosic, renewable diesel, green gasoline. They're made from organic materials, but it takes... There's there's chemistry involved with breaking those cells down, as you described. So there's technology risk. And then these refineries that produce that fuel, and don't get me wrong, I'm all for them, but they cost, tens if not hundreds of millions of dollars to build these refineries. So you've got some technology risk, and you know, in the last two or three years, you could safely say that there's financing risk to get these refineries up. To put up an anaerobic digester is, you know, in the mid seven figures, you know, $5-6 million. And then it produces methane, and many of the buses, like here in Santa Cruz, they run on natural gas.
Right, right.
So there's no technology risk and there's no financing risk with using this technology.
Well, when we get back, my first question is going to be, how easy would it be to convert our energy infrastructure from petroleum gas to the methane gas? Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking about going from wasting not, you know, from recycling everything, to wanting not, to making some money with it, to be able to sustain ourselves. We have Michael Keller with us in the studio. Michael's the CEO of Scandinavian Biogas US. Hey, how come the Scandinavians are doing this and we're not? Right back. Do stay tuned. Michael Olson, this is The Food Chain. You can participate as well. You can call 831-479-1080. That's the phone number, 831-479-1080. Right back.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Hey, welcome back. Michael Olson here. This is The Food Chain. We're having too much fun here in between the segments during the commercial breaks, talking with Michael Keller and Michael Olson. We're talking about what to do with all the waste and how to make money with it, how to go from a society and a community in which we waste not to a community that wants not, for a community that has some sustainability, some financial firepower. And can we use our waste to get there? That's the question, and it appears to be a question that has been answered in Scandinavia. Why Scandinavia? Why has Scandinavia been using this technology, and why not the U.S., Michael Keller?
As we were talking about over the break, Europe, just in general, was not blessed with energy reserves that the
blessed United or States, cursed, as the case may be.
Exactly, and so they've been forced to be more energy efficient. You know, the cost of energy is so much higher in Europe than it is here. The Scandinavians, and talking about Sweden, Norway, Finland, and Denmark, just to name four of the countries, and Germany, they've gotten really good at recycling organic waste to make methane and using that as a fuel for municipal purposes, to heat buildings, provide electricity, to run the city buses, the taxis, etc. But they've been forced to be much more creative with their usage of energy. So we're drilling and drill, baby, drill, and we have, you know, an abundance of natural gas supplies.
They can drill there, but there's nothing there to grill for.
Yeah, exactly. In the North Sea, there's a lot of crude oil production, but really in no other place across Europe, they get a lot of their natural gas from basically Russia.
Russia.
And they've been held hostage, to use a term, a couple of times in the last, you know, say 5-10 years. So it's precarious at best. They're highly motivated to find an alternative for natural gas, you know, for that exposure to the energy markets. And so they've done it just by recycling organic waste, everything from human waste to pre-consumer food waste to post-consumer food waste. and everything in between.
So nothing goes to waste. So describe one of these facilities, how they work.
In Stockholm, where Scandinavian Biogas is headquartered, so they've got they have a one facility I saw. It was a sewage treatment plant. They had an anaerobic digester sitting right next to it. Then they would upgrade the gas to what's called pipeline quality. They take the CO2 and the other non-methane gases out of it, and then it's then put through pumps that you fill up your car with. And these are not exotic cars. There were the Toyota Prius was there, and I saw a number of Volkswagens, Mercedes.
So they're running on natural gas.
Absolutely. The buses in Stockholm all run on biomethane.
Mm-hmm. Well, the buses in our community, Santa Cruz, California, are running on natural gas, too. Yes. Is there a difference?
The engine doesn't know the difference. Between.
Okay, you're right.
And I'm not sure actually what the chemical difference is, mm-hmm. but you can mix pipeline quality methane with natural gas, and you know the end result is the same.
Same thing.
You can combust it.
So there you are. This is happening by virtue of necessity in Scandinavia.
Yeah, and but it's not, you know, the example I just described. That's one. There was another one. They put up there in Stockholm. They put up it was a high rise residence, you know, apartments. So they set up to where all the post consumer food waste would go down the disposal. It went to the digester. They turned it into methane. They cleaned it up and they turned the methane back to that building in electricity and heat. And when it gets pretty cold during the winter. So it's
almost like a spaceship. You know, you're flying off to a distant galaxy. You're not going to waste anything. You can't. There's no place to put anything, right?
Well, they're just so incredibly efficient and thoughtful in the way they go about it.
And because hydrocarbon energy is so expensive in Europe, it makes money for them. Economically viable. It's profitable.
My first trip there, Michael, I went and I was with the director of technology, and we're in a little town of Linköping, Sweden. And so he picked me up at the train station and he's filling up his car. It's a Volkswagen Jetta, I believe. And we stopped at a pump and I was going, well, what is this? And he goes, well, we're filling up with biomethane. And I said, well, that's amazing. He said, well, it's cheaper than gasoline. And it gets better gas mileage than gasoline. And I just went, and my jaw hit the floor, and I was going, this is amazing. And that's what I felt like, that the United States could really learn some lessons from this. And so I've become, you know, pretty much of an evangelist for mm-hmm. recycling waste and turning it into transportation fuel, much like Boone Pickens is talking mm-hmm. about.
Sounds like a good jihad to me. Now, is there a difference? So what you're talking about, essentially, then, is the same thing that Boone Pickens is talking about. Mm-hmm. And this is significantly different than biofuels. I mean, we've heard a lot about biofuels, which is converting corn and other substances into ethanol, mm-hmm. which is a liquid fuel that we put into the gas tank, mm-hmm. that mix with gasoline. This is gas.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is, you
this
know,
is
not,
this is this is a gas and, gas instead of a liquid gas.
Yeah, it's renewable gas, and it's not a fossil fuel. We didn't pump it out of the ground, but it was, you know, it could be anything from spent grains from a distillery that's making, you know, whiskey or vodka mm-hmm. or whatever. It's not food or fuel. It's just waste that has. In many cases, it's got a cost associated with getting rid of it.
Right,
and
right.
So you say, well, instead of taking it to the dump and burying it, then capturing the methane there, cut the dump out of it altogether and do it in a digester. Mm-hmm. So the volume goes down by 90-95%.
Kind of like, it reminds me of a radio show I did a number of months ago. It was called The Pink Gold of Vegas. And it's a story about a pig farmer in Vegas who recycles all of the buffet leftovers through his pigs.
Yeah.
That kind of you making money with the waste. And
yeah.
So here we have a situation in the United States where we have a tremendous amount of natural gas. Mm. And we have an infrastructure and the potential to make a lot more biogas on site, almost on many different sites. This is really a decentralized kind of thing we're talking about, isn't it? Because if a plant only costs a few million bucks, it could be relatively easy for every community to build one.
Absolutely. And the notion of what I would call a community digester, so you know pre and post consumer food waste, is brought to a central location, turned into methane, then you have to upgrade it. You have to get rid of the impurities in it. So, and then that can be used, you can use the raw gas, its crude form, to make electricity just by itself. But if you want to use it as transportation fuel, you have to upgrade it. And that costs another million or million and a half. Mm-hmm. But this is not a very costly refinery.
Nor a technologically way out there kind of thing. What about, doggone it, we're just about ready for a break. What about changing the energy infrastructure of America from hydrocarbon-based petroleum gasoline to biogas?
Technologically, it's a short putt. You don't have to do too much to do that. Cars can be retrofitted anywhere.
What about my Jeep?
It could be retrofitted, yeah.
For millions of dollars?
No. About, I don't know, $4,000.
So we could convert. We could.
Yeah, absolutely.
Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're on a voyage of discovery. We're talking about how to go from being a society that wastes not anymore, we recycle everything, to a society that can want not, that can actually make money by this stuff. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1980. Right back. Hey, welcome back. Michael Olson here. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Today, folks, we're talking about going from being a society that wastes not. You know, we all recycle, and so we waste not anymore, whereas we used to be a society that consumed with wild abandon. We just threw the stuff out the window that we weren't using, and that was that. And it's changed a lot. Our community here, we have three garbage cans, one for recycling green waste, one for recycling paper, plastic, glass, and metals, and a third garbage can for the guilty garbage can for throwing away the things that we don't know what to do, throw away, what to do with anymore. And that's the guilty garbage can. And when you put something in your guilty garbage can, all your neighbors look at you with their eyes kind of scrunched up and going, look here, Olson, what are you throwing away there? So we've become a society that wastes not, but now we want to go to a society that wants not. We want to take the materials that we throw away and make money with them. And here to help us talk about this today, we have Michael Keller, who's the CEO of Scandinavian Biogas US. And also with us today, we have calling in from down south somewhere, Nikki Rodoni, who is the Sustainability Director with Gill's Onions. Nikki, are you there?
Yes, good morning, Michael.
Thank you very much. Now, Nikki, you're a technology officer with a production agriculture, Gill's Onions. You grow a lot of onions, you process them, but you're also a soccer mom on the weekends, and you've got a bunch of kids, and you're short of time, but we thank you for joining us for a few moments today to tell us about how you are using this technology of biogas to make money for your company.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's an honor to be here and share our story. A little bit about, just a brief summary, who Gill's Onions is. We were started back in 1983 as farmers growing a variety of commodities, some of which were for a salsa company. We were growing tomatoes and peppers, and the salsa company wanted to transition from dehydrated onions to fresh onions, and they asked the owners, David and Stephen Gill, to do this. They had never grown onions before. But they also asked them after they were done growing them, to peel them because they didn't want to deal with the waste issues. So,
and who does, right?
Right, exactly. So they were smart, and David and Stephen, being young and innovative, wanted to expand their operation. So they said, sure, why not? And so that was back in 1983. They started with about... Go ahead.
Nikki, did you get a job peeling onions? Is that how you started?
No, I actually, this is a family business.
Okay.
And I grew up with this and watching David and Stephen grow this business.
Good.
But no, thank goodness they didn't have the processing operation when I was a kid, because when you go inside the processing facility, you cry like a baby for at least 15, 20 minutes. It's very cold and miserable. It takes a while to acclimate. So you definitely, it's an emotional experience working at the facility. So we started out back in 1983 with about 14 employees, and fast forward to 2011, and we've grown over to 400 employees and have since become the nation's largest onion processing facility.
Which means you have a lot of onion waste, right?
Absolutely. So, so when Steve peeled his first onion, he knew he was going to have a waste problem. In our process, we lose about one-third of every onion peel. And when, you know, during our peak periods, we peel up to 1 million pounds of onions on a daily basis.
You say 1 million pounds a day?
Yeah, mm-hmm, I did. And
that's a lot of tears, isn't it?
It's a lot of tears and a lot of onion waste. That generates about 200,000 to 300,000 pounds of onion waste. And when I say onion waste, it's the unusable part or the non-consumable part
right.
of the onions, the tops and the tails. And then we go down a layer or two to get to that quality onion that we're after. So as the business grew, so did the waste, and it was becoming a huge problem to deal with. In fact, so much of a problem, if we did not find a solution, we were going to have to relocate our headquarters. Our previous solution to dealing with this waste was to sling the onion peels into the surrounding fields that we farmed. And this solution generated a host of problems for us, offensive odors from the fields, soil acidification, and growth impairments of our commodities, because it sounds like a great solution, but there was so much of it that it was taxing on the soil. It was expensive and very labor intensive, and but it was the best way we knew how to handle this processing waste. And we were spending up to about $450,000 a year on this solution. And again, as the business grew, so did the waste, and it wasn't cost prohibitive. So Steve Gill came up with an award-winning solution to deal with this waste that we coined the Advanced Energy Recovery System. And what happens is, and I'll take you through the process, is that the tops and the tails and the unusable portions of the onions come out to a mechanical juice extraction process, where we take the onions and we squeeze them and we extract all the juice that we can out of them. So the juice is separated from the solids, and that juice equates to about 30,000 gallons of juice a day, and the solid part equates to about 20 tons. The solids are sold as high-value cattle feed. There's a lot of nutrient content, but they're to non-milking cows.
Mm-hmm.
And
wonder why.
Yeah, we haven't been able to market the onion-flavored milk yet, but... and then the juice is then diverted to a great big tank, and then we call it the equalization tank, and the juice sits there, it ferments, and it provides a steady supply to a big anaerobic digester. An anaerobic digester means without air, and there's bacteria in that digester that feed upon this onion juice, and the onion juice actually makes a great feedstock. It's really high in sugars. And the byproduct of that is a methane-rich biogas. And from there, the biogas needs to be cleaned and conditioned. We have, in fact, this is one of our biggest challenges, was to clean and condition this gas. It has to be 100 times cleaner than pipeline gas to go to the final stage, which is 200-300 kilowatt fuel cells. And what the fuel cells do is they take the methane from the hydrogen and they reform it, and it kind of works like a continuous battery to supply electricity for our processing facility.
And how much was your electricity bill before the recycling?
Well, what I can say is that this is saving us approximately $700,000 a year in our electricity bill.
So, but it's more than that, too, because it was costing you $500,000 to get rid of this stuff.
Exactly.
So by recycling your waste, you're well over $1 million to the good.
Exactly. So with the fuel cell, too, since we clean and condition this gas before it goes into the fuel cells are a great solution because they can work both on biogas and natural gas, but the emissions affiliated with this are a little bit of water, waste heat, and CO2, which eventually we'll plan to capture all those emissions and increase the efficiency of the fuel cells. But they're so clean, in fact, that they don't need air quality permitting for us. So,
wow. Well, Nikki Rodoni, thank you so much for joining us. I know you have to get back to your kids and to your friends and to your weekend of soccer momming it, but I'm not going to let you go all the way. I'm going to bring you back sometime soon. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Folks, we will be right back with Food Chain and Michael Keller. This is getting fun. Do stay tuned. Well, folks, how do we go from a society that wastes not, and we don't waste much anymore, to a society that wants not, and we have a lot of wanting to do, so how do we make money with that stuff that we recycle, that we're trying to recycle, that we save and we don't throw away? In particular, the organic stuff, the food waste, the human wastes, the organic material. We just heard from Nikki Rodoni, who's a sustainability director with Gill's Onions, and she talked about how they process a lot of onions. Gosh, 1 million pounds a day. And by recycling and composting and digesting the wastes, Gill's Onions is able to save and make over $1 million a year in cold, hard cash. Wow. Just by not throwing things away like they used to. And that's what we're talking about today. We have with us in the studio Michael Keller, CEO of Scandinavian Biogas US. Michael hooked up with a Scandinavian company because in Europe and Scandinavia in particular, they don't have the hydrocarbon fuels that we have to power our engine of our economy. So they have to figure out other ways of doing things and doing things more efficiently. And one of the things they do is they turn their organic waste into biological gas, which is different than biofuels that we've been talking about, the corn ethanols and whatnot. We're talking about natural gas or methane produced from decomposing organic material. Michael, one of the projects you told me about was had something to do with tequila. Yeah. So we're going from onions to tequila. Tell us about your tequila project.
Tequila waste or tequila production is very interesting. It's been going on for a couple hundred years. And in 2010, Mexico produced almost 300 million liters of tequila. For every liter of tequila that's produced, there's approximately 10 to 15 liters of waste liquid that's produced.
Wow.
And it's very acidic. It's got a pH in the 3-3.5 range.
Eat its way through lead.
It's very caustic, and the and it also very high in biological activity in BODs, and the and there was an oil in it that when the field applied it, it would cause great harm to the soil, much like Ms. Rodoni was talking about with onion waste. So there was a real issue about how to treat this.
Because if you didn't do something with it, would it eat a hole in your landscape, right?
it would certainly harm, you know, food production,
yeah,
or agave production. So so what we're doing down in Jalisco, you know, west of Guadalajara, is we're taking the vinasas, the waste liquid from tequila production, and we're putting it through digesters. And we can, it raises the pH back to more of a neutral level, 7, 7.5. And it also is a prodigious producer of methane. And I mean, it's excellent. We're producing electricity from it. We're turning the Bonanzas into a benign. It's not potable water, but it can definitely be field applied and replace the aquifers. Absolutely. So it's we took something that's we're really helping the tequila industry in Mexico become, you know, almost completely sustainable, which is just amazing. And it's
almost a closed loop, almost like that spaceship to Mars again.
Yeah, exactly. And but anyway, it's there's some field research, of course, you know, tasting the tequilas, but it's this is just a very exciting example of what can be done with food waste, with problematic food waste.
And we were talking earlier about how this is something that a lot of people are pointing toward natural gas as a way of really changing the nature of our energy consumption here in the United States. We have lots of natural gas. We have lots of organic wastes. It seems like we could reduce our consumption of hydrocarbons hugely. And is this something that you see happening, or is this just something I'm dreaming about here? Like I said earlier, I've been looking toward a future with cellulosic or the grain ethanols, but they don't seem to be panning out. It just seems to be turning into just another government taxpayer recycling program, and there's a frustration in that. But what you're talking about seems to be something that not only could be happening, but is actually happening in a lot of places.
Yeah, the technology, it's not new. Methane production, you know, here in Santa Cruz County, you know, the city of Santa Cruz has anaerobic digesters. The county of Santa Cruz has anaerobic digesters. And to my knowledge, they're treating only human waste. There's sewage. And so there's some offset with the energy production, you know, from using anaerobic digestion.
Just as a does putting these wastes into a anaerobic digester kill all the harmful bacteria by any chance?
It depends on the process. And I'm really not qualified to answer that.
All right. But just out of curiosity. All right. Oh, shucks. It's time to take another break. Michael Olson here. We have so much to talk about, so little time to talk about it. But when we come back, I want to ask Michael Keller, with respect to this biogas, if it's cheaper, if it gets better mileage, if we have an abundant supply of it, why are we not converting our energy infrastructure here in the United States from hydrocarbon or petroleum-based to gas-based? What is the holdup here? We will be right back. Well, true or false, Michael Keller, natural gas and biogas are pretty similar. Your car wouldn't know the difference.
That's correct.
That's a true. We have an abundant supply of natural gas, and we have an abundant supply of organic materials that can be composted or digested into natural gas. True or false?
True.
Natural gas vehicles get better fuel. The fuels cost less money than petroleum-based gasoline. True or false?
At the pump, that's true.
That's true. Natural gas vehicles get better mileage than petroleum-based gasoline.
So I've been told.
It would be relatively easy to change the energy infrastructure of our personal lives, our community, and our nation from petroleum-based fuels to natural gas-based fuels. True or false?
That's true, to a point. It's like switching over from gasoline to diesel. I'm looking at buying a new car myself, and think, well, you know, I'm looking at diesel for various reasons, and it's just like, well, do I want to give up buying gasoline, and then do I have to start looking for diesel fuel? The same thing would be true with a compressed natural gas vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, you know, they're right on every corner like there are gas tanks.
Sure.
But there are more of them.
Mm-hmm.
And as that demand grows, then, you know, it's a chicken and the egg type of a thing.
But with respect to the question, it would be relatively simple to establish this infrastructure.
Yeah, there's no technological risk.
Okay,
it's just,
so that would be
consumer
true,
demands. Yeah.
Okay, true there. So then my question is, why are we not doing this? I guess, you know, just judging from what we've talked about here in the last minute, it would appear to be that natural gas and biogas would pose a significant threat to some vested interests.
I'd say that's a true statement.
Is that why we're not pursuing this?
I don't know why. I think the demand is growing steadily. Are we at a hockey stick? You know,
wait a minute, one more true or false. Natural gas and biogas, it would emit fewer greenhouse emissions than petroleum.
Natural gas, when it's combusted, it's CO2. But you're using a fossil fuel. Biomethane, or, you know, methane that came from food or, you know, some other organic material, that's basically carbon neutral at that point. So it was absorbed CO2, and now it's emitting it when it's combusted.
So for what reason are we not doing this? I mean, there has to be a substantial reason here that I'm not getting and I don't understand. Why are we not doing this?
The demand is growing, Michael. You know, more and more people and companies are getting into this, but it's, you know, we're just at the very early stage, and it's just not that well known.
Maybe there's hope on the horizon.
I believe so.
Hope,
yes.
And change.
That's right.
We've been looking for it. Maybe we found it in the garbage dump.
We should get on a radio show and talk about this.
Well, gosh, this has been a lot of fun. I want to thank Michael Keller from Scandinavian Biogas USA. How do we find you?
ScandinavianBiogas.com.
There it is. Nikki Rodoni from Gill's Onions also called in today. I want to thank her. What a fun gal she is, and a fun gal to talk to. And what about it out there? Do you think we can go from wasting not to wanting not with natural gas and biogas? You can follow up with your answer on the forum page at metrofarm.com. And I thank you all for tuning in. Encourage you to tune in next week for more What's Eating What Radio right here on the Food Chain. And remember, cheap food isn't.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.